Good morning, church. I'm looking over a note here, make sure that it's nothing for me. It doesn't look like it. Preach on, brother. It's good to see y'all this morning. It's good to be here. I'm honored to be here with the message this morning. I was telling Brother Terry, and the way he was praying, if you thought that was a little bit strange this morning with Sunday school, I was asking the Lord for a message. I had a church on my heart, and the Lord put it on my heart last night to go to visit one of our supporting churches this morning. And as I was studying and looking at the Word this morning and trying to figure out what the Lord would have for the service, if I got called to preach there. Now, it wasn't one of those where it was a definite, but I know this pastor, and usually he asks me to bring the message if I'm there. And all of a sudden, the Lord started shifting things and changing up my message. And I'm like, okay, Lord, it's kind of getting scattered. You need to lock me in here. And then about that time, I get a text from their pastor. And he says, Brother Bill, I'm feeling a little rough this morning. Would you mind filling in? I'm like, oh, okay, now I get it. So this message is not, the Lord's using me as a messenger. But understand this, that the Lord provided this message this morning. In John chapter, John chapter 15. As you're turning there, I'll give you a quick update on the ministry. The ministry's running very well this year. We are so thankful. It's been one of the busiest years I think we've had in a long time. We have been working with a church down in Clinton, North Carolina, Charity Baptist, and that's down southeast of the state. Had been working with them for the first semester of school through December, so from August through December. We were working with them. Now, check this out, church. 13 volunteers, if you didn't hear that. 13 volunteers out of their church that wanted to go into their schools. And God called them, and with the help of Brother Devin from Rock of Ages, we trained, had the classroom training for those 13 volunteers, pastor included. And as we were working with them, they had to do the what we might call in-service, where they go into the classrooms and actually start teaching and get some help from Miss Sharon and myself and the Lord from people that have been doing it for many, many years. In December, we turned that work over to them, the 13 volunteers, and that church is running well with that ministry in their local area. Brother Andy Watson, we worked with him over at Cove Creek. The Lord opened up the door for him, burden on his heart, to start a Bible club over at Cove Creek Elementary School. So we spent all last year with him, and this year we turned the work over to him, and he's having a great time. He said, I got some more volunteers. Can you line up a training for this summer? So we're going to try to get some local people also involved with that might want the training. And I'm trying to think, there was one other thing. Oh yeah, the Lord works in wonderful ways. As soon as we were done with training the volunteers in Clinton, North Carolina. Now, I want you to understand, this is how God works. It's just amazing if you let him. Okay, and that's what we're getting ready to get into in the message today. As soon as we turned that work over to them in December, we kind of had, you know, that day that we were going down there once a week. So every Thursday we gave to them, driving 4 hours down, 4 hours back. It was some fun. It's an experience. Missionary's life is never boring by any means. But in December, we turned that work over to them, and we're like, okay, what are we going to do with this Thursday? We got them open now. And I kid you not, no sooner did we turn this work over to them than a teacher approached us down in Wilkes County. And she said, would y'all come into our classrooms? Now, this is six classes that we got to go into. The Lord got done with one work and just put us right into another one. And we get six more classes down in Wilkes County now, a whole another day down there. So it's just a blessing to be with working with the Lord. I'll go ahead and give you a little snippet from what's coming to the next prayer letter. We were teaching a lesson on forgiveness in a school over in Avery County. And a little boy at the end of class, just in tears. And because I told him, you know, forgiveness isn't an emotion, it's a choice. And this boy was just, by the end of class, he was bawling. And he's like, Mr. Conrad, I need to talk to you after class. I was like, okay, no worries. When I get done, we'll talk. The rest of the class went to lunch, and I sat down with him. I said, what's going on, man? And he said, Mr. Conrad, he said, I got somebody, and I'm not going to go into all the details because it was one of these were to be hard to forgive, loss of life kind of thing. And he said, I can't forgive him. And I was like, oh, man. I said, you know, it's tough. I said, you heard my testimony before. I told him, I said, you know, some of these things takes a long time. But through that, I said, you just make the choice to try to forgive this person every single day. And I said, you know where your best help's going to come from? I said, because the one that forgave us, Jesus Christ, I said, if we go to him and ask him to help us with our forgiveness, he's more than willing to, because he forgave us for our sins. And I got to sit down there and pray with that young boy in class. And I can't wait to get back next time to go talk to him. But hopefully the Lord will help him, and we ask God to help him to forgive, because that's where you're going to get your most help from. We're never going to feel like forgiving somebody, but with the Lord's help, we can forgive others and get on to a productive, fruitful life that we're getting into today in John chapter 15. I'm going to go ahead and pray this morning, and then we'll get into the message today and get the Lord's blessing on this. In Jesus' name, Father, we love you, and just we thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Lord, I pray for this message, Lord, that you've laid on my heart today. Lord, I pray you straighten it out and make it clear to the hearers, whether it be in the church or on Facebook Live, Lord, wherever it might be, Lord, that they would come across clear, and Lord, I pray that it work on hearts. Lord, this has been something that's been on my heart for weeks now. And Lord, we just ask that you would just help us as only you can. Lord, I pray that you bind Satan and his workers, that they not hinder in my preaching today, or Father, the reception of the word in the hearts of believers and the unbelievers today. And Lord, I pray for liberty. Lord, that you just give that to me, make all my thoughts clear, feed me through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just love you. We thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll try not to keep you past 12. It'll all be good. As I was looking and going through God's Word today, and in the past, the life of a Christian has just been burdened on my heart. It's like, it seems like some messages I've heard and everything deals with a life for Christ and fulfilling that life that He has for us and being a fruitful Christian. And that's what He wants us to be. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be productive. He wants us to have everything that He's got planned out for us, He wants us to have. Now, as I was looking at the scripture today, I was thinking just on this thought, and He had me turn here to John chapter 15, and he gives this example on the garden, on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. His disciples were walking with Him, and He kind of starts talking to them, and He's like, look, boys, I want you to have a fruitful life. I want you to bear fruit. I want you to be productive in your Christian life. I want you to be a soul winner. I want you to surrender your life in see if I can get it right, holy. I want you to surrender everything to Christ. Now, we're going to look at some stuff where we can still do this and not be a missionary or a pastor or something like that. But what I'm saying is, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, God's got a plan for every one of us, okay, in our Christian walk. He really does. In chapter number 15 of John, it starts out, it says, I am the true vine. Now, he's speaking to his disciples on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, I am the true vine. Jesus Christ is that true vine. The way to salvation, the way to heaven, the way to a fruitful life. And he's telling his disciples here, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Now, the husbandman of a vineyard is the person that owns it. He hires the workers. He takes care of, just oversees, like the manager of a job today. This is what the husbandman was, the owner, the one that oversees everything and takes care of everything is in that vineyard. That's what the husbandman is. And he goes on to tell his disciples, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. So the husbandman is the worker there, the owner there. He oversees the growth of the vines, the plants there, and makes sure that they're productive in their growth and in their fruit bearing. Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, a weird little thing in our Bibles today that we look at this, He says he takes away the fruit if it beareth not fruit. It says if you, as a Christian, disciples, as he's talking to here in the Bible, he says if you're not fruitful, if you're not productive in your Christian life, he says, now, I got to give you a little bit here. This taketh away. It means to, when you look at it, look up the definition of this word, it means to lift up. Now, if you've heard this message before, forgive me. It's been many, many years since I'd said anything about this piece of scripture, but definitely I did not look at my old notes because I wanted the Lord to bring new oil out of this and give it to you, and that's what he's done with this. It says that this takeaway, what it means is some of the branches off of a grapevine, and if you've ever noticed a grapevine, it grows and it twists and goes through, and these vineyards have massive, just long fences along them, most of them, for the vines to grow on. And with this, he said some of these vines, some of these branches that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, as he's talking to his disciples, I want you to understand this. I'm not making this up when I say that he's lifting this branch up, because he's talking to his disciples. He can't be talking about, I'm going to take you out of heaven. He can't be saying, I'm going to take away your salvation. He's not saying that to them. So in the context of the scripture today, he says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He's going to lift it up. And from what I understand, this helps that vine to get to work and get some sunlight. If it's down underneath the rest of the branches, you know how underbrush is. If you look through a forest, the under branches of the trees, if they're big trees, usually die off. And they rot and they fall off. Christ is telling his disciples here, he's like, look, if Christians, if you're not bearing fruit right now, just keep looking towards Christ. He said he's going to lift you up, and what he wants you to be is he wants you to be productive. He wants you to be fruitful in your Christian walk. So he says these branches, they're not bearing much fruit. See, don't worry, God's going to lift you up. He's going to help you be productive, but you got to stay hooked up to the vine. You got to stay hooked up to me. Now, as he's looking at this, we're looking at the scripture today. He says, every branch that beareth not fruit, he lifts us up so it can bear fruit. It can get the sunlight that it needs, and it can bear fruit then. The flowers can be pollinated, and it's going to grow grapes. And this is interesting because this time of year, we're a little bit behind here in our pruning, because this usually gets done in March. What we're getting ready to go into, every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But then he goes on and he says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Now that word purgeth, it means to cleanse. Whenever we think about the scripture today, with grapevines, what happens is, and many other trees as well, fruit trees, there are things that grow on the vine that are not productive. We used to prune a grapevine for a lady that we worked for back when we had our landscape maintenance business. And we would go, and I told her, I said, ma'am, I got no clue how to prune this. We usually just cut the grass and sling mulch and spray weeds and things like that. I've never pruned a grapevine. I've never been a fruit harvester before. And I said, you've got to teach me how to do this. And she said, well, you go along the trunk of the vine of the grapevine. She said, you go along, and she says, everything that looks like it's green and not productive, she said, we're going to cut this off. We're going to get rid of it because this is going to take away from the fruit. The productivity that we can have as Christians, there's going to be little things that can pull us away from being totally fruitful in our walk with Jesus Christ. Holding us back from being the Christian that we could be are these little branches. And he says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He cleanses that branch so that these little things that could deprive the fruit of being what it could be, he said, he's going to take it away. Now, in reference to this, I thought about, we're going to get ready to go there here in just a minute, another piece of scripture that truly just got laid on my heart, and it came to my mind immediately and was in my heart whenever the Lord was telling his disciples here that we may be a semi-fruitful Christian. You know, we may be going to church, but there's so much more to be Because as I look at this scripture, you can have fruit, have more fruit, and then you can have much fruit if you continue to read all the way through this, all the way through to, I believe it's going to be chapter or verse number 17. But I don't have time to get through all this, but we're going to give the main part here, how to be a more fruitful Christian. And I believe that's all we're going to have time for today. So he tells us here, he said, I'm going to cleanse you so that you can bear more fruit. I don't want you being pulled away by this and by that, these little things that are going to take us away from being a totally productive, fruitful Christian. I want you to turn with me over, if you would, you don't have to, but if you would, over to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. In chapter number 10, verse number 17. Again, here a familiar piece of scripture talking about the rich young ruler that came to Christ. And interestingly enough, this young man, he comes up to Jesus, and he starts out with good master, and he says, What must I do that I may inherit the eternal life? Now, I'm going to bring this to you in a way that I believe it's written to us as the readers, because this young man, Jesus told him at the end, he said, take up your cross and follow me. Now, you can look at this as salvation, and I know different preachers have brought different things out of this, but I believe this eternal life that we're looking at here today is a life fulfilled the way that Christ would have us to live. This eternal life, this long, this everlasting life, this productive life, this life to the fullest. This young man comes to him and he says, how do I get this? Now, we all know through salvation, believing in Jesus Christ, and that's why I said, I believe he was witnessing to him, helping him, but he said, just follow us. He didn't say believe in me, he said, just follow us. Now, watch what he says here. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. So apparently he had he was on a mission. He's like, I got to get to this guy. I got to find out what this is all about. And he kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, you have to understand that Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. So he's telling this guy about the Old Testament things that we needed to do to please God. Follow the Ten Commandments. And he answered unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now, thank you, Jesus. It just told me something else. I don't think this is a lost man, because he says, you're going to have, in heaven, if you do these things, you're going to have treasure. It's going to be very productive. You're going to be fruitful. And come, take up your cross and follow us. Now, as I looked at this thing, and as I'm going back to, I want you to relate this to that the purging of the vine, the getting rid of the unproductive things that pull us aside either one way or the other, that may hinder us from being what we need to be for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So all of a sudden, he comes to this young ruler, and some things that I saw here, this man had great possessions. But the thing that the Lord showed me here, and these possessions had him. Now, you may not hear this from many pulpits, church, but it's okay to have possessions. You're not going to hear that very often, are you? The problem many people have today is that the possessions have them. They are those little shoots that are pulling them and making them not be what Christ would have us to be in our Christian walk. As I was looking at this, I saw this, it's so important apparently that it was penned down also by not only Mark, but by Matthew and also Luke. They all had this account of this young rich man that came to Jesus and he's like, what can I do to have that fulfilling life that I need to that I desire as a Christian? He said, this rich young ruler, as I saw this, I saw that power had him. Because he was a rich young ruler, he had all this power. And you have to think about it from the perspective of us as Christians, of what can pull us aside, what can suck the sap out of us and be that Christian that we need to be, what can take our feeding from the Lord and it go off into this little shoot that needs to be gotten rid of, and all of a sudden, this man is dealing with this. He's like, oh, good grief. You mean to tell me I've got to give up my power? Because he was a ruler. I mean, this guy, you have to understand, I've worked so hard to get where I am. I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. I've worked all, I know I'm young, but he's like, man, I've done all this and now I'm a ruler and you're asking me to, well, here's the thing. It's okay to rule things, but to get there, did that ruling, does it have you and pulling you away from Christ, doing what we're supposed to do as a Christian? This power had him as being a ruler. He's like, man, all these people worship me, and I've got this. I can tell them to do this and this and this. And he's like, this power had a hold of this man, this rich young man. But I also see this. One of the things that pulled him away, that kept him from being what he needed to be, was that his popularity had him. You know, I get a blessing out of, I always use this example, this one young man over at one of our schools, one of the most popular kids in the school. But here's what happened. He went to church every time the doors were open. He read his Bible. And God blessed him with being good at sports. He really was good. He was very, very popular, but he didn't want to be. It just happened. This young man, bless my heart, was leading other students to Christ in the school in his classrooms, taking them, reading them Bible, and the way that he put it to some kids, that they just wanted to. They were like, can we just get away from, teacher, can I go out in the hallway and do my work? Because he's bothering me with this gospel stuff. And the teachers let him go out in the hallway. Not the boy that was popular, but the ones he's witnessing to. They were so convicted, they just had to get out of the room. Now, this boy is only like 8 or 9 years old. But he was the most popular kid in the school. I don't know where he is now. I can't even remember his name right now. I'd have to go back in my records and look. But he was popular, but the popularity did not have him. He didn't sacrifice being kind to others, honoring his mother and his father, loving others enough to tell them the gospel. He didn't sacrifice all these things to be popular. He just was popular. But this young ruler is like, man, the popularity's got me. He's like, all these people, I got all these friends and all these other guys, I got all this money, and it's just, man, I'm popular. And it's got him. And he can't be fulfilling to Christ what he should be. One of those little things that need to be purged off, you know, and cut off. But also I see these possessions had him. And you heard me say at the beginning that it's not, Christians, it's not wrong to have possessions. But when the possessions have you, then we got a problem. What I mean by that is if the possessions that you have are taking you away from what you need to do to fulfill Christ's plan for you in your life, that's a problem. That's one of those little things, snip it, get rid of it. Because what I found is this, that a lot of possessions can get a hold of people, and a lot of possessions will keep people out of church, not witnessing like they need to. It will have us doing what the next thing is, because some of these possessions, this man, I think he was out of debt, but a lot of possessions will put us in debt. So as I'm looking at this today, I'm thinking these possessions had him. He had a lot of stuff. Now, whether you want to take that as in collections of stuff or just a gatherer of things that cost him money, he had a lot of this stuff, but he wasn't following Christ. He said, these Ten Commandments I can do. I can do them easy. But now you're telling me just to submit myself to you and follow you? He's like, you mean I got to get rid of these things? One more time, just so you don't get it out of context. It's not wrong to have possessions, but when the possessions compromise your walk with Jesus Christ, that's when they get to be a problem. Okay? I hope you understand that. Pull you away from what you need to be doing for God. All right? Now, also I see this man, this is my last one for him. I also see that his finances had him. You can go along with that with the possessions. He had a lot of stuff. Okay? No doubt the Bible says he was a rich young ruler. And it even at the end of it, it says that he was grieved that he had great possessions. Now back in the Bible days, you have to understand they didn't have as money the way we think of it nowadays, but they had treasures as that fine gold and silver and fine jewels and things like that. And that's what was worth the money as we look at it today. You know, we think about gold and we could take it and sell it and get much money for it. Well, he had these great possessions. His finances with that had him. Now, church, I don't say this just because I don't say this just because God told me to bring it to you. He did, but I want to let you know this last couple here, this possessions and the finances, I can speak as an experienced person in that area. And I'll give you the reason why. With these finances, and this gets to be a hard one, I know, church. I know these things that we possess now cost us money, all right? It may be that we go into great debt. It may be that we need to do more to get more finances to pay for these things. It's crazy now that they're teaching kids in school. It's no longer save up and buy. It's like, okay, you get do your best. You know, you might get a little savings account and then go establish as much credit as you can. I'm like, oh, good Lord. Whenever I was younger, and I say younger, I'm late 20s, early 30s around in there. You know, we had that landscaping business. And I was one of these where I wanted great possessions. They've got it, I want it. Okay, that kind of, y'all know what I'm talking about. We see things and we're like, they've got it, I want it. So what do I have to do? I'm like, thinking in my mind, not having anything to do with the Lord, okay? I'm thinking in my mind, how can I do this? Okay, I got to work more. And all of a sudden, my working more started to be like 7 days a week. I wasn't going to church on Sunday. Sometimes, church, whenever we think about being financially, well, don't let your finances have you. If you've got money, that's a great thing. All right, support more missionaries. We need more support, okay? But what I'm saying here is finances shouldn't have us. It's okay to have finances as long as the finances don't have you. Now, I said that because I can speak as an example for this. Back whenever we had our landscape maintenance business, I didn't mind working on Saturday, but we had one job, and I know you've heard me mention this before, but I'm just tying this into finances that we can relate to. Mrs. Conrad and I, we took care of a lot of landscape maintenance. Some of it was interior. back in the day, back before many of you youngins can even remember what the Boom Mall was, it had plants in it. It was very beautiful. It had a fountain in the middle of it. It had these live plants that were growing all through it. Well, the only time that we could get down there and do this, we could either do it like after they closed at night, or we could go Sunday morning before anybody got there. Because they didn't open the mall till 1 o'clock. Why? Because people need to go to church. No, I need to make money. The only day of the week I justified in my mind that we could go down there and get this work done was Sunday morning. So, and yes, I drug her into it. It wasn't her choice. I drug her into it. But she did go with me. It's partially on you, but not totally. So here I am every Sunday morning. We get up, we get ready, we go down there, and we take care of these plants before anybody got there, and we weren't going to church. Now, the finances had me. I had to make more money to get more stuff because everybody else has got these nice things, nice houses, nice cars, you name it, you put it in there. I wanted it. How do I get it? I get more money. And not having God do anything with it. You have to understand that. I wasn't asking God help me. I was doing this in the flesh myself. Because I knew probably what would happen, and I'm getting ready to get to that here in just a minute, what would happen if I did turn it over to God and say, God, what am I supposed to do? What kind of house am I supposed to get? You know, and he's going to say, well, you just need a roof over your head and I'll take care of you. No, that's not good enough. I want more. Well, how about the car? I want this really expensive car. No, you can buy this one. It's like 3 or 4 years old, and you'll make do with that. Seriously, I didn't want him in any of it. All right, I was just going in what I could justify in my mind. They've got it. I want it. I got to make more money. So one day, as I started to grow a little bit spiritually, I uttered these words, and church, if you're not going to follow through, don't ask for it. All right, but if God puts something on your heart and you want to be in His will, you better follow up on it. Okay, here's my words. Lord, if we didn't have this job on Sunday morning, I'd be in your house. You'll never guess what happened. The mall manager comes up to me and says, Mr. Conrad, we're going to start taking care of the plants ourselves to lower our costs, lower our overhead, and eventually we're going to get rid of the plants. I'm like, seriously? You heard that? And thus begins a journey of an ever-growing spiritual walk with the Lord. I was like, okay, Lord. I was afraid not to follow up on it because I didn't know what God was going to do if I didn't follow up on what I told him I would. Okay, now don't make promises to God, but this is one. If you need to, go ahead, but you better follow through with it, okay? Promises that you can keep. Let me put it that way. Lord, if I didn't have this job, I'd be in your church on Sunday. Job's gone. No more Sunday morning work. I'm like, okay, I guess I better get my behind in church. So I did. And, well, you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. But this man, his finances had him. And in church, I'm not telling you, you know, like I said, if you've got possessions, if you've got popularity, if you got power, if you got finances, that's there's nothing wrong with that. But don't let this stuff get a hold of you and control your life. That's pushed Jesus and God's will for your life totally out of it. It's a miserable way to be. Jesus told this guy, he said, sell it all, give it to the poor, take up your burden for the lost and follow me. As Jesus tells his disciples what happens when possessions have a man, he will have a difficult time following Christ. That's where I was at, okay? And just to give you a personal upfront example, yes, the preacher did one time get drawn away with this. And then I learned. Now, all of a sudden, to have these finances, church, it will, when you have this, when the finances have you, there's just a couple things that negatively come out of this. You're not going to be tithing what God's blessed you with. Can I tell you real quick that, here again, the preacher stands before you as a living example. I don't have enough money to tithe. There's no, if I tithe, I can't pay the bills. If I tithe this, we can't make this payment. If I tithe this, I can't make that payment. The preacher will love this part of it. If I tithe, I can't add to the church. I don't have 10% extra to give. And then all of a sudden, I realized, like, as I grew spiritually, that I needed to start tithing. Now, this was back when Preacher Wim was here. He preached on it one day. And he said, you know, you can't outgive God. And the more I read God's word, it's like the more that you give him, the more he'll bless you. The more that you give him, all right? Now, I'm one of these where if a missionary comes in, I always give to missionaries. And you say, Mr. Conrad, that's our money that we're giving you. How dare you give it to somebody else? I'm invested in your future, okay? I'm a good investor. I'm investing your money in a missionary so that you can get treasures in heaven. You're seeing souls saved through me helping a missionary, okay? So don't ever think that missionaries giving to another missionary is a bad thing to do, because I'm investing your money in heaven. You're going to reap rewards for that. But as we look at this, I could not tithe and didn't think I had enough. And then Preacher Wim preached on it one day, and I started reading in the Word where God's going to, and I'm like, okay, I'm one of these, I'm hard-headed, church. I have to prove everything. I had to prove Christ for salvation. I had to prove, this is one of those where God, I'm going to prove you again, or try to prove you again, and I'm going to see if you're wrong. So I did not even know that you were supposed to give on your, well, we had a landscape maintenance business. I took everything that we made. Now, it's supposed to be tithing on what you, like your paycheck, okay? But now, being self-employed, we were getting reimbursed for mulch and things like that, hundreds and thousands of dollars for mulch. And these different things that we were getting paid back for, without taking any expenses out of what we were getting, I just paid 10% off the top. Now you're like, Mr. Conrad, you totally got that backwards. I know, I'm not an accountant, okay? But here's something that the Lord showed me with it. I took 10% off the top instead of 10% off my earnings. And you know, God never let us miss a meal. I don't know how much I gave to the Lord. I'm afraid to go back and look to see how much I gave him my tithing, because it was way, way up there. But he proved me wrong. Everything I gave him, I never missed a meal. Every payment got made. I don't know how he did it. I mean, as a missionary, we take our books to the accountants, and we eat. We got a roof over our head. When things break, we get the money to replace it. We pay cash for things like vehicles. I don't know how he does it, because if you looked at our books as an accountant, you'd say, there's no way that you're doing this. I know, it's not me. It's the Lord. Church, if we stick with him, and even do something as little as tithing, I promise you he'll bless you for it. You can't outgive him. Given, it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken, and overflowing. I glean on that. I take that it's just so good to put your faith in Christ and what you're doing. And just watch him bless you for it. By doing this, working on Sunday, I wasn't in church. I wasn't learning more about the one that saved me. Okay, I wasn't learning more about Christ. And then what really hurt me, for those many years, youngins, listen up, I was not looking for God's plan for my life. I was trying to conform my life around God, okay? I hope that makes sense to you. And I don't know where my life would be today if I'd have just came out and just gotten saved at an early age. And I'm not blaming God for not saving me. That was my fault. My not getting in church when I had the choice when I got out on my own at 18. That was my choice not to do that. Not the Lord. He was merciful enough to save me when I asked him to, but I wasn't looking for him. But after that, I wasn't looking for his plan for my life. Until, you guessed it, in my 40s, all right, God, what would you have me, and be careful again, follow through with your request, please. But here's the thing that happened. Lord, and I kid you not, I said these words, Lord, what would you have for me to do for you? Now, don't, church, everything's still getting paid for, okay? I'm not saying be a missionary, but I'm just letting you know God's got you if we just submit to Him. Get rid of the things that are, that have us, and just turn everything over to Him. God, what's your will for my life? The call to preach came. I was like, oh, good grief, I'm pulling Moses. Lord, I can't talk. You know me, I'm shy. I can't get in front of people. And that's that. I could not even read a book report in school because I was so shy. I'd get up there, my voice would be breaking up. I don't know what. It's just the Lord that I'm even up here today, because usually I'm so nervous, like in front of people, I can't even talk. That's the way I was until God intervened. When I turned myself over to Him, He's like, here, this is what I want you to do. And here's Mr. Conrad's flesh. You've lost your mind. I can't preach, and you want me to go. And then all of a sudden, Jeff Bellamy comes to the church, and he's like, come and see what God's doing in the public school classrooms. And it's like, smote me in the heart. And I'm like, no, Lord, no. But I asked you what your will was for my life. Now, I say all that to say this, church. Even though we gave up a wonderful business, He's had us the whole way. I'm happier now than I've ever been. I'm more tired now than I've ever been, too. Some of the hours we pull in the classrooms. But here's the thing. I'm so much happier now that I've turned my life over to Christ and seeking His will for what He has for me and my wife. Did we give up a wonderful business? Yeah. I miss being outside. I'm an outside person. Luckily, I get to walk in the classrooms. If you sit me behind a desk, I'm going to go nuts. There's no way I can do that. The Lord didn't give that to me. But here's the thing. Church, He's taking care of us the whole time. I still got a roof over my head. I've said this before. I still have a vehicle to drive. If it really gets messed up, we got the money to pay for it. And by the way, church, I want to let you know this. One of the things the Lord put on my heart, and this is just me, okay? Don't charge it. I asked the Lord whenever we started going into this ministry, I said, Lord, if you... Here's one of these other things again. Be careful. Lord, if you'll get us out of debt to go into this ministry with the support that we don't have yet, I will never charge another thing again. He paid it off. I don't know how. I cannot tell you how. But it wasn't but a year after that, and all of our debts paid off. Now, we didn't have to go into debt to buy a house or anything like that. We had car payments, credit card payments, things like that that we had to pay for. It wasn't anything really major that took like 20 years to pay off. But I said, Lord, if you'll get this stuff paid off, we'll go. And I'll never charge another thing again, because you've showed me through this that charging is not the way to get things. Now, if you're going to do it for convenience and then pay it right back out of, you just have to shift some money around to different accounts, I understand, okay? But I was getting stuff that I didn't need with money I didn't have. I think we can relate to that. He paid it all off, and church, I kid you not, we have not charged anything that we didn't have the money to pay off ever again. He's taken care of it. All. He's taken care of it. I don't miss a meal. We've got wonderful food. We Lord blesses our garden that we grow, and we get fresh vegetables out of that. But what I'm saying is this. I did not want anything to do before with God's plan for my life. I wanted to do it for myself. I wanted to do what I thought was right, get the job that would pay the most, and do what I needed to do to get that money, to get the things that I wanted. Not that I needed, but I wanted. But whenever I turned my life over to Him, He took those things that I wanted and showed me, here's what you need, and I'll give you everything you need. I don't live in an extravagant house, but I got a roof over my head. It's a wonderful house that He's blessed us with. We get food on our table. We got a vehicle to drive that stays running. I thank Him for that too. But whenever I see this, if I can tell you today, and don't do it if you're not ready to follow, but I urge each and every one of you, especially you young people, Lord, what have you got for my life? What school do you want me to go to? What job you want me to get, where you want me to be. don't look at it from our standpoint like the world does, because that just gets us into debt and into trouble and pulls us away from God. One of those little purging things that the Lord will do if you ask Him to. Get rid of these things that pull us aside, that suck the sap out of us and the nutrients, where we could be really getting fed from God and be following His will for our lives. Sometimes He just needs to get rid of a few of these things. Now, as we look at this, oh, good gracious, I got 4 minutes left. Apparently that was the... There we go. So anyhow, these things, Jesus followed this up with back in Mark. Mark, right here. In verse number 10, or chapter number 10, 24. Let me get back up to my scripture here. And disciples that said they were astonished whenever Jesus told this young rich man to sell all your goods and take up your cross and follow us. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And his disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for a man that trust in his riches to enter the kingdom of God? We'll never know what God has for us if we just go about things in our own mind frame. Like I said, I'm not telling you to be a missionary. I'm not telling you to be a preacher. But I am saying this. If you ask for God's will to be done in your life, I'm the living example. He will answer. All right? We may not like it, and we may think He's lost His mind, but He's got the perfect plan for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. He's still got that perfect plan for your life if we'll look to Him. Back over in John chapter number, where are we at? John chapter number, I think it's 15. Yes, the vine. He's going to purge this, these nutrient-sucking things, these things that would maybe not have us to walk that walk with Christ that we need to. He said, I'm going to purge them, I'm going to cleanse these things, that it may bring forth more fruit, to be that productive Christian that we need to be, His plan for our lives. He said, now are ye clean, that purging. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then He says this. So he tells us how to be fruitful, but then He's going into the more fruit here, right here. Abide in me and I in you. That abiding just means to not to depart, not to leave, to continue and to be present with. Jesus is saying, if you just hook up with me and just stay with me, I'm going to make you fruitful. I'm going to make you productive. I'll have you be what my will is for you that I've got planned for you. He says this, abide in me and I in you. So we know that through salvation, Christ abides in us. We've got that guiding spirit within us. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, you can't be fruitful without Christ in your life. And the more you look to Him, the more He will help you be fruitful and be productive in your Christian walk. He said, a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus Christ says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He says, for without me you can do nothing. One little thing that he says right there just really stands out. When we try to go about things in our own way, without prayer, without God's guidance, it's not going to make us fruitful. Going along with everybody else, what everybody else is doing, it's not going to be fruitful. Now, he says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If we ever want to be what Christ would have us to be, we need to always be in prayer. We always need to be thanking Him for what He does. And church, I'm not going into here again for time's sake. All the little prayers I pray during the day, Lord, help me find this. Little things. I mean, he doesn't necessarily want us to, I mean, he loves that our time in the closets. Don't what I mean is they're prayer closets. But I want you to understand that Paul said, pray without ceasing. Now, without ceasing, it means that we're not going to be on our knees all day long, but he wants that constant communication. Lord, what do I do? Lord, help me find this. Lord, help me get me through this. Lord, give me the words to say if you're talking to somebody. He just says, without me, you can do nothing. You can't be a productive Christian without me. He said, if a man abideth in me, as we're closing this out here, he said, if a man abide not in me, and we're looking at verse number, forgive me, my contacts are going out on me. He says, verse number 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Oh, I'm sorry, Sister Brandy, I didn't give you the title of the message today. How to be a fruitful Christian. Productive Christian, however you want that. Be a fruitful Christian, yes. But he takes these other things that he gives an example here of these things that aren't productive, aren't fruitful. In church, what it spoke to me is it'd be terrible to be a useless Christian. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. I believe in Jesus Christ, but all of a sudden, we've not allowed God to purge us. We don't take that time throughout our day just to always try to think about him and to talk to him and to ask him about things. We teach a lesson in our to our itty-bitty kitties called Chip's Birthday. And what it is it goes through the lesson, and what it says is everything that Chip's learned all through his life, all the good manners, all the ways to please the Lord, all these things like that. When it's his birthday, he gets all excited and his manners are just, they're gone. He just totally, his manners are, the gist of the story is this. He got too excited and forgot. In church, sometimes I know Christians get so excited and so wrapped up in, how am I going to make this payment? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And they totally leave God out of it, because they've not sought his will to begin with. Sometimes we dig our own holes, can I say that? And get ourselves into situations that it's not easy to get out of, and then when we realize we can't get out of it, that's when we go to God and say, Lord, help! But it should be way before that. God, is this what your plan is for me? Is this? We pray about vehicles. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Lord, what would you have us drive? I ask the Lord about everything because I want him to have my back. I want it to be his will. I mean, you can put anything in there, you know, house, education, money, the job, things like that, spouses, boyfriend, girlfriends, whatever you want to put in there. Look to him first, because I believe a lot of times if we don't, we're going to end up like these useless branches and a useless Christian, and we're never going to find out his will, but we're going to end up in heaven one day and we're going to stand before him. And he's like, well, you didn't do much. No, Lord, I didn't. I had a lot of stuff, like this young rich man. I had a lot of stuff, but yeah. What'd you have planned for me? You'll never know unless you look to him. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day today. Lord, thank you for this message. Lord, thank you for your help in me. Lord, that was a blessing. And Father, we just want to ask, Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, examine ourselves. Father, that we could be in your will, Lord, and not our own. And Father, this message that speaks to me as much as it does to everybody else, Lord, that we need to be looking for your will each and every day with everything that we do. And Father, I pray us today as a church, Lord, and these that have heard on the internet, Facebook, Lord, that we would just take that to heart. And Father, look to you for everything. Lord, that we take our hands off of it and put your hands on it so that you could mold that clay into that perfect vessel that you've envisioned for each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that for today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, I don't.